Alrighty, it is Saturday, November 9th, 2024. Saturday, about 4:30 p.m. I'm doing errands, and I have a little while before I get home here. I haven't made a decent entry into this voice recorder in some months. And it's on account of a number of things. One is that my workload is exceptional. As a special education teacher at this particular school, it's just an insane amount of paperwork in terms of the expectations placed upon us to create these model, legally airtight documents that are taking the department members 20 hours or so to complete and finalize from start to finish in the various drafts. There's like one, two, there's three versions of this that we create along the way, with the final version being the third one. The legal, the final document is actually online, so there's some duplication of effort and, to have this online presence and, duplication of work. And it's just crazy. Anyway, so a lot of my weekends, my free time are taken up with this. And I would say it might take me 2 hours to come up with, to get to the place where I want, where I'm able to get my mind into the mode of generating this paperwork, period. I hate it. I might have 8 hours, in 8 hours of time on a given day, maybe I'm only getting 2 or 3 hours of real work done because the rest of the time is my needing to take breaks, eat, get politically distracted, etc., in order to, create this document. And like I said, if it takes me, 15 or 20 hours to get it done, that could be five days worth of work. So whatever, don't cry for me, but it weighs on my emotional well-being. I was talking to a staff member at the school just a few days ago, describing this preschool assignment I had just a couple of years ago, and I had 6 or 7 kids, no educational assistant, no help even using the bathroom, etc., girls and boys, and it was a, after about a couple months, my complaints finally got me some support from a cafeteria worker who would come over to meet us at this gang bathroom to support, our use of the bathroom at certain intervals during the day. But, stuff would come up. This girl on the spectrum, if she got anything dirty or wet on her clothing, she would immediately strip. And, I'd have to, at this little area, maybe I'd put a partition up or, this PlayStation, collapse a couple things so she had a little private area, and I'd give her some clothes and she'd do her thing there to get changed out. But what am I bringing up? So it was a lot of work, but I didn't mind so much because they didn't sweat me about the paperwork. The paperwork is far more stressful than any of these student, oriented expectations. I don't mind having some behaviorally challenging boys. Typically, I had a couple of them who would run away, knock stuff over, oppositional defiant, etc. And I got a handle on those guys pretty good. It took a while. but it's the paperwork that's the killer, because it hangs over you like a shadow, like a dark cloud obstructing the sun. Because it's stuff that really has no bearing. It doesn't help the kids, you know, for the most part. It's just this circle jerk of legal considerations, defining all these different, goal outcomes for the kids, and then all this data chase, you know, subsequent in following these meetings with respect to these the identified needs of these kids. I don't like it, you know. I don't like any of it, but it is what it is. In Hawaii, where we get $10,000 additional as a special ed teacher, it's not enough. It's not fair. It's because of the shortage in this area. Most people would rather take a $10,000 pay cut and be able to work with a kindergarten class or a fourth grade class or a high school English class and just not have to deal with the paperwork headache related to special education that we have. All right, enough of that. So as I'm, on a caffeine high from the Costco latte that I don't encourage anyone to have, I got a bag of the latte dry mix used by a cafe I used to go to, and it's like corn syrup solids, GMO flavorings. I mean, God only knows what Costco's putting into this thing, but I'm sure it is awful. I'm feeling a bit of a buzz. I was a little more elevated in interacting with people at Costco. Had a lot of positive interactions there today. But that's not why you are listening to this, okay? So that's just to put into context that my spiritual challenges are grounded in worldly considerations, and that's always been my goal. However, it was not my goal to be in a fucked up, upside down struggle with something more powerful than me that was trying to kill me when I accepted the challenge presented by Kundalini, the Holy Spirit's choosing me, or as El Kali said, branded by spirit. You know, that's kind of what happens when you have a Kundalini awakening. That is basically, means that your supplications, your austerities have yielded an opportunity provided by the Holy Spirit. But I'm on sort of a gigantic freak show, sideshow, hellish fork that I guess knowingly chose. So I'm still here dealing with it, but man, I've aged a lot. So what am I going to say? In the last couple of months, if I haven't had an entry here orally, what will I say? I will say that in the last, it was, I think, a year ago, maybe October, was when I felt the first real emergence of these tendrils of energy coming up out of my joints, my shoulders, my hips, and an increasingly strong etheric knots coming down up and down from my heart and encircling my heart. Some of them just thick inch-wide ropes. And then these tendrils have gotten stronger over time. And the last time that I really had the wherewithal to fast was like a 4-day fast I had in March. So that's like 7 or 8 months ago. And I've had only like maximum 22 hours of fasting, and then I'm eating since that time. And what I had experienced prior to that was by the 3rd or 4th day of a fast, the capacity of this inverted heart energy to control or subdue my body was reduced by like 90 or 95% by the 3rd or 4th day. And it was more relegated to just heart control, you know, pounding, skipped beats, etc., but almost imperceptible in my joints and in my extremities, as opposed to now where it is colossally interfering with me. And I would say that my cognitive functioning, tendrils are up in there, and even in their relatively, let's say, dormant state, when I, you know, during the day when I'm up and about and I don't have this girl's direct conscious attention, there is a subtle drain throughout my body that was not present a year ago. Not really. Not like this. So I'll just throw out some symptoms that I hope to reproduce in a written entry. Most recently, I was weaving in and out of my ability to really attend to an all-day training on special education paperwork yesterday, and I was sitting and feeling tension in my chest, tension and weakness in my back, and also, well, that was a few days before that, I had a real strong bout of pain in my back, upper back, around my scapulas and just below my scapulas, pain and weakness and tension in my frontal line, mostly around between my xiphoid process and my prostate, just upending and really challenging my digestive and my solar plexus, that I had to do, you know, sit-ups, etc., to try to reduce some of it. But it was very persistent and problematic. But yesterday, for the first time, crazy, after like 2 or 3 hours of sitting, you know, with this exhausting, you know, review of expectations for this IEP that I'm working on for a meeting next week, I had the most insane etheric tap or obstruction to my upper right foot. So like the upper part, you know, not my arch underneath, but like the top of my foot going down to, you know, maybe 3 inches up and down in my foot, such that walking almost was impossible to me. It hurt that bad. So I hobbled around. I got back. I took a break, used the bathroom, hobbled to my classroom to get some sardines from my box. I've got like a box that I carry my stuff in. Saw my sub and my kids. Kids ran to give me a hug. People, you know, wanted to hear what was going on there at the office where I was meeting. And but the pain in my foot was just off the charts. And I haven't had it, you know, in the afternoon it was gone. Today it's not there. But the amount of energy that the succubus, that this malignant entity given license to ruin me, has, I've never had that in my life, not in my life. And what I will tell you is if you're someone that's been chosen like this for like a whole body, you know, whole body consciousness of God, you've had nothing but energy movements and positive sensations, and you're just moderating the flow as much as you need, you know, as much as you have to like maintain sanity, but basically it's all positive. As opposed to this negative entity moving around in me, it is nothing but pinpricks of pain, tightening, and I mean pain throughout, you know, in different areas of the body all day long, 24/7, and just ratcheting up of pain over this past year, especially as my body has increasingly fallen victim to this presence. And what will I add to that? I don't think I'm gonna be able to last much longer. I'm not well. And again, my cognitive functioning has been suffering. And I'm just like nonstop listening to politics. It's just, I'd be better off emotionally and spiritually probably if I just played music and or had quiet. But I haven't really done that. Most of my waking hours, I'm just surrounding myself with podcasts of different people that I enjoy their points of view. And it helps me with my investment and house hunting aspirations or goals, because I'm still looking for a house, and housing here in Hawaii is, I think we're second only to maybe California for, I think we're the second highest housing price. Average house price here in Hawaii is second only to California in the country. And it's like, what is that? Some kind of Schiller index. It's a measure of how many multiples of the average income does it take to buy a house. I think it's like 8 times or 9 times. Or maybe it's 11 times. It's a lot. It's more than I think it used to be, like 3 or 4 times 20 years ago or 25 years ago. It's gotten way out of line with historical norms or what the average person's able to afford. But I'd be better off listening to music probably, but I'm not doing that. My double, you know, there's the skin around my chin hanging off of my chin. It's dangling more now. You know, I'm looking older. I'm more gray. My triceps are more flabby. And what will I say? And it's a result of, you say, I'm 59. Well, no. There are a lot of 59 to 70-year-olds or even older who maintain their muscle mass through exercise and diet and weight regimens. And what I will tell you is when you've got a living, negative, succubus-type energetic phenomena growing in your body, where there's ongoing pain in various pressure points, you know, I would say, thumbs, shoulders or deltoids, hips, big toes, brain, ears, frontal lobes, crown. It accelerates the aging process, and I think the aging has definitely accelerated since my body has been under such assault, increasing assault over the past year. And so it was yesterday during this meeting. It was my foot, but also my brain that was under attack. And I had rings under my eyes that I don't normally have. A sense of exhaustion, mental exhaustion, and raccoon eyes. You know, you look at these abused children. I make reference to these raccoon eyes of kids who've been sexually abused on my Pizzagate page at my website. And it's a real thing. And it's a loss of life force. And you can kind of tell the difference between abuse and like sexual excess. You know, there's almost like a different vibe in terms of the loss of energy. Was it voluntary or was it coerced? And you can kind of read that sometimes in these energetic expressions. And I had the look of like, it was disease. It was malignant. It was not sort of a freely engaged sexual encounter that was full of a lot of pleasure. This is like more a sexual duress that I observed in my facial, you know, the kind of wear in my face and around my eyes, the kind of exhaustion. And with this hungover, unable to concentrate vibe. Luckily, I'm smart as shit, certainly relative to these Pfizer COVID injected colleagues of mine who are suffering in their own rights, turning, you know, becoming plasticized and fake as this mRNA takes over their bodies, you know, engineering all these, I don't know what they are, these polymer threads that are clogging their systems and making their skin turn fake looking to me. But they're also having a harder time focusing. So in a, you know, in a sea of fools, in a sea of victims, in a sea of illness, I still stand out as relatively healthy. But God help these people. So there was that in conjunction with this like 3 or 4 hour like fucking pain latched onto the top of my right foot. You'd have thought that someone had dropped a bowling ball on my foot. No. It was literally like 400 demonic needles injecting themselves like an inch into the top of my right foot. So there was that. And and then I will say that lately, 6 out of 7 days a week, I am unable to go for a walk after school. And this was not the case a year or a year and a half ago. No, 6 months ago, it was not the case. So what's going on is there is a vital tap of my whole body that is growing. And this one picture I have of a succubus at my website, an artist's rendition of a succubus fucking a yogi or a monk, whether it's to death or it's a depiction of extreme loss of life force, but this guy was down for the count. And you know, her sexual region is just dripping with his, either her orgasm or his life, his ejaculations, and then his spirit rising up out of him, being consumed by her. And that's what's going on with me on an etheric level. But on a physical level, in this this, you know, what is it? Was it called? What's the word for it? Sublimation, whatever is going on here in an inverted sense, where my literal life force is being pulled from me and directed to her. I'm pretty positive that that she's being fed to a great extent by me through the ethers. You know, that's God's reward for her handiwork and for my rejection of the offer of salvation, which is a whole nother story. I'm not going to go there now. I didn't want this to be a permanent ban on my access to the divine. And I don't know that I can come back from where I am, but I hope to. I'm still here. I'm still in the ring. You know, the ref, I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping the ref hasn't declared a victory for her. You know, I'm still alive. I'm still here. So there is hope, I would think. But normally in the past, after work, especially after eating a meal and lying down a little bit, or at least lying down, there would be a rebound from the exhaustion from a day at work. A rebound enough to have this urge to go take a walk, to exercise, to move the body, to celebrate and give aerobic release to the, the stress hormones, the adrenaline and its toxic compounds that it breaks down to in the body, all of that is released through aerobic effort. And so it was a very healthy life practice to do a 2-hour walk after work. And I am not doing that now. Almost not even on a good day when I have off. I am drained. And I will say also, on my days off, I tend to spend 4, 6, 8 hours of incessant eating, trying to catch a rise in my energy level so that I feel like my intellectual functioning is able to hit a high note, and I'm able to then want to go on a walk or something after I do some intellectual work. And what I'm finding is that all of this recourse to material sources of energy, that is stuffing my esophagus with food and drink, I am doing more to feed the succubus's strength and stranglehold over my functioning than I am feeding my body and mind. Yet every time I might go, if I go 4 hours or even 3 hours without eating, I'm getting attacked from my thyroid down to, you know, my prostate or my esophagus, that whole, you know, esophagus region and other areas. I'm getting attacked and excessively stimulated, you know, even on my balls or my prostate or my esophagus, up and down, making me want to eat. because this is her greatest, one of her greatest strategies for control and subduing me, controlling and subduing me, is having me eat to excess. And so instead of weighing 202 or 201 or whatever I was stably for several months this year, I'm now up like 207, 208, 209. I've gained 5 or 6 pounds just in the past month or month and a half. It's gotten much worse. My exhaustion is getting to be dangerously problematic. And you read all these things about, you know, harming your pancreas, your liver with too much carbohydrates, too much food intake, not allowing enough rest, not allowing any autophagy to occur. That is, you know, the digestion of damaged cells in the body that really occurs when you go 12 or 16 hours without eating. Your body starts breaking down cells that are harming you, that need to be flushed out, to be recycled. And I'm not giving my body opportunities to do that. And I am suffering such tiredness now throughout the day that it is getting harder and harder for me to work out. And so I would say it was about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, something like that, I started working out in the morning. That is at 5 a.m. or 5:30 a.m. doing a 45-minute step aerobics with 10-pound barbells in my hands just to maintain some upper body, because even though I am not happy or well, there are more of these 18 to 20-year-olds that I really, it's not an ideal fit for me, but they are looking for someone to produce children with. And some of them, they probably want to stay with me. It's not just looking for someone to give them, you know, $2,000 a month to raise a kid as they are living with someone younger than me, you know, 40 years older than them or something like that. But, you know, I am looking for a younger woman to have kids with. You know, I take a fit 30-year-old yoga instructor, but they're not around here. Or even, you know, 33, 34 years old, if they're really just a specimen physically. Because I would like someone to have a kid or two with. But, you know, to have this inner struggle is just like, it's fucking ridiculous to even think of. I'm not available. But it's like these women are coming out of the woodworks because our economy is a shit show. And I'm living in an area where the economy is not good. And, you know, I'm a standout still, even though my inner world is a nightmare. But I still have a presence. Thank you, Lord. So yeah, I need to fast, bro. I need to really fast. And I, you know, wish me luck to do that. I need to get 3 or 4 days in, maybe ride. Once you get like a, my little cheat sheet is that if I go 48 hours or 60 hours in, the rest is smooth sailing. It is smooth sailing. But it's the first 2 days that are the hardest for me. And I have had pretty extreme attacks on my esophagus 16 hours in, and I just fold like a you know, like a house of cards. My will is just not there right now. And it is, you can, and I'm getting flabbier. And you know, if you want to keep an 18-year-old or a 20-year-old happy, you know, you're not just going to be paying her bills, you're going to be providing her with a lot of sexual fulfillment and just looking physically strong. So, and I need to stop using food. I've always used food, especially since Kundalini awakened me. I was always using food and sexuality, masturbation as a release or a release of energy valve, or a grounding valve amidst, these other external pressures upon me, expectations, college work, occupational expectations, etc. So, and that's all I'm going to say. Getting weaker, getting flabbier, and 4 or 5 pounds in the past 6 weeks. I mean, it's a pretty negative thing right now. It's a problem. I need to get in 2 or 3 days of fasting and try to hold on to it for 5 or 6 or 7 days. Not necessarily catalyze a Holy Spirit hand down from God to like see if I'm good enough to break free again, but maybe that could happen. And I've wanted to at least fast during Lent. One definition of Lent is you're not eating Monday through Friday. You're eating on the weekend. That's one way of looking at it. And I'm 208, 209. I was 180 in high school my senior year of high school. And there's no reason why I can't lose 25 pounds. And, I could probably fast like that 5 or 6 weeks in a row, 5 days a week fasting, and get down to the 180s and eat on the weekends, which would promote regularity, bowel movement, and then go back to fasting again. And I just, I need to knuckle down. And again, it's been hard with the enormity of the workload. I've never had a workload like this, or expectations regarding paperwork. And I'm at a rural school where staffing is hard, and there's a lot of articles out there where there's burnout at these rural schools because you can't retain staff because there's not much to do. It's not a big city. It's a lot of, hopelessness and incest in the community and all that other shit going on, because the economic opportunities aren't there. And so it's just hard to keep people there. And so when you don't have the staff, then existing staff take on more work because they're shouldering the burden of that would otherwise be handled by the staff members that are not provided for because you can't hire them. They're not around. So you're working harder. You're working like, I had a one point, I was doing the job of like one and two thirds positions last year. And that was not fun. And now the counts are getting high again. Higher than they should be. That's it. Say go for it, do your best. I don't know. Hey, look, avoid some of the decisions that I made. I'm largely here to find out, what is on this path and report it. There are other forks in the road for you to take, and I'm definitely going to be reporting out on what I've experienced, because this is definitely one of the paths that are possible for people. And it's been quite an experience, and I'm still here, and I hope to live long enough to have some kids, raise some kids, and get rid of this thing with the Holy Spirit's help. And it would be easier if I were retired, had nothing but time to kind of fast and purify myself without such a gigantic worldly orientation required of me. I would say it's been more than I could bite off And I just wish you good luck on your path. And may God choose you. And that's going to be, a lot of that's in your hands. You have to be as aerobically fit, emotionally open, passionate, faithful, determined, and just, yeah, tenacious and determined and passionate as you possibly can. Idealistic. And just imagine these possibilities for you and really just try to sync up with like some really wonderful autobiographies that are out there and your own intuition about what's possible, and just try to resonate with what you think is possible and go for it, and you know, and see what happens. And maybe you will have a tenfold, you know, increase in energy level, consciousness wise, you know, like I've been exposed to, or, you know, more than that, you know, hundredfold, initially. You know, I rejected that back in 1994 because I had torn my anterior cruciate ligament and I wasn't going to take a chance that I, you know, would not be able to hike and moderate this process, because I was immobilized for several months. And so, you know, this story of delay and obstruction has been kind of a consistent thing in my life. And that's it. Good luck on your path. Much love. May God light your path. May God grant you discernment, and good luck. Over and out. Amen.